God is too good to be unkind, and he is too wise to be mistaken. And when we cannot trace his hand, we must trust his heart. That's a quote by Charles Spurgeon. Hey, hey, welcome to Zoe's Corner, where we keep it real and raw with a little bit of fun. I'm Zoe, aka Mrs. Chibs. And this is my cozy corner of the world where I document my life's crazy and amazing journey. The highs, the lows, and all the messy, beautiful moments in between. We're talking faith, finances, love, life lessons, you name it. And through it all, I'm on a mission. ICE. Inspire, create, and encourage. And that's what I hope each episode does for you. So whether you're sipping coffee, stuck in traffic, or just chilling at home, buckle up, get comfy, and let's have some real talk. No filters, no fluff, just life as it is. Ready? Let's dive in. So on today's episode of Credo Corner, we'll be talking about how God works everything together. So our main scripture for the day, we have two main scriptures. And the first one, of course, I think you all may be familiar with it. It's from Romans 8:28. And from the NIV, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So this scripture, like, I sometimes really don't like it. And I don't like it when I am going through something bad, something hard, something testing and trying. And that's a scripture that someone decides to share with me. I'm always just like, yeah, sure. You know, like, what good thing is gonna come out of this? You know, and so I thought it was funny because when I was thinking about what to share, there's a song that kept ringing in my head, and the name of the song is He Holds It All Together. And so I was just like, I couldn't remember the name of the song at the time. I could just remember some words. And so I Googled the words and I typed the lyrics at the end, and then the song came up and that scripture came up, and I was just like, oh my goodness. No, not that. And so I was thinking about, like, okay, God, like, what would you like me to share? And I had to think about a time when I went through something and he worked everything out for my good. He worked it all together. So I was reminded of the story of Joseph. I'll speak about Joseph first in the Bible, and then I will share a personal story. So I think we all know about Joseph. Joseph was one of many brothers. They were 12 brothers. And Joseph was his dad's favorite. And his brothers didn't like that he was his dad's favorite. God gave Joseph a dream. So this story can be found in Genesis. Towards the end of Genesis, like, I think in the 40s. Let me just check. I have my Bible with me. Okay. Yeah. It's in the 40s. Oh, in the 30s as well. Okay, so yeah, it starts in chapter 37, Genesis chapter 37, and it goes all the way into 50. So yeah, you can read that story at your own time. But so Joseph gets sold by his brothers, and he gets sold into slavery, goes to Egypt, and works hard, finds favor with Potiphar. Potiphar's wife falls for Joseph, wants to sleep with him. He said, nope, I am out of here. Potiphar's wife is embarrassed, and so she makes up a lie that gets Joseph thrown in jail. In jail, Joseph realizes that he has a gift of interpreting dreams. He interprets dreams, and he interprets two dreams. One person gets out, one person gets killed. The person that gets out, he tells him, "Hey, remember me?" He's like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." The guy doesn't remember him for years until Pharaoh has a dream, and then the guy remembers him, and Joseph gets out and ends up being second in command. And so, yeah, anyway, we're going to read from Genesis 50 verse 20, and it says, "You intended to harm me." So here he was talking to his brothers, because his brothers thought, you know, he's long gone and everything. And anyway, there was reconciliation at the end. But this was what Joseph was saying to his brothers. He was saying, the brothers that sold him, he told them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Man, I'm going to read that again. Genesis 50 verse 20 from the NIV. It's Joseph's story, and he's telling his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Man, I love that. I love that scripture. So I was thinking about a time in my life when harm was intended and something amazing was accomplished. So this is a story from high school, okay? So in high school, I think I was in what grade? I was in grade 11. I was in grade 11. Yes. And so, first of all, just a bit of context. I do not like injustice, and I have always wanted to be someone who speaks for the voiceless, right? So at some point I thought I was going to be a lawyer, because I would always stand up for people that struggle to stand up for themselves. So that's just like a thing. Anyway, so I'm in grade 11 and a new girl comes to school, and me and the new girl were friends. Actually, I think she came the year before when I was in grade 10. So, you know, we became friends, and she was kind of like a rich kid, very popular. Her dad was like a big person in government. And yeah, she was a cool person. Like, we were friends. However, this person did not respect people. So I was a prefect, and a lot of times I would see her bullying other people. And even though she was my friend, I was like, yeah, that is not okay. So I tried talking to her, and yeah, she really wouldn't listen. And I noticed that the other prefects just didn't try speaking to her at all. In fact, I feel like everyone was afraid of her, because she kind of had this like thing for, it's either you're with me or against me. And so a lot of people were with her so that they're not against her, because then they would get the effects of not being on her side, if you know what I mean. So I remember like her bullying with people, like this is in boarding school, by the way. So her bullying was like out of control. I remember this one time there were people showering and she got like a dirty mop. Again, this is boarding school. These are boarding showers, which means it's not the cleanest of cleans, you know. And she gets a mop and she opens, there was a girl, my goodness, she was from the UK, so she was like new, anyway, I don't want to put too much information out there in case people are listening and can figure out who I'm talking about. But anyway, there was a new student who was from out of the country, and this was her first experience in boarding school. So she's showering and the bully comes, opens the shower, exposes her to everyone. Actually, she calls a crowd, opens the shower, exposes it to everyone, and then gets that dirty, filthy mop and like puts the mop on her, like cleaning her with the mop and telling her like, hey, you stink, you know, let's clean you up. And people were laughing and laughing and laughing, and some of the people laughing were prefects. And I remember that angered me so much. I was like, this is getting out of hand. I am going to report. So I went to report her to we called her the matron, like the lady who's looking after the girls. And she was like, okay, yeah, we know she's a bit troublesome. So because the actual person who she bullied hasn't reported, it's kind of difficult for you to do it on their behalf. I would suggest that you get people to write letters and then you be the one to represent them and say, look at all this evidence. I was like, okay, cool. So just to make sure I was doing the right thing, I went to another teacher. Like I think she was like a biology teacher or something. And I told her like, hey, you know this girl? She's like, oh yeah, everyone knows her. She's so troublesome. I'm like, yeah, well, this is what she's done, and these are other things she's been doing. And the matron said I should write letters. Is that necessary, or is what I'm saying enough? So they were like, no, it's not enough what you're saying, because it hasn't actually happened to you. So get people to write letters. I was like, okay, cool. So I wrote letters. I mean, I didn't write the letters, but I asked people to write letters, and they did. And I assured them of their that them reporting, it wouldn't trace back to them. And so I got the letters and I went to the teachers and I gave them to say, hey, look, these are the complaints. Is there something that can be done about it? And so they were like, yeah, okay, let's see. Nothing ever happened. I kept following up. What's the status on the letters and the bullying? They were like, nothing. So somehow word got out that I went to report her. And so she came to me and confronted me about it. And I told her like, yeah, what you're doing is wrong. Like, you're my friend. However, what you're doing is not okay. And so me telling her that what she's doing is not okay meant now I was on her bad side. And honestly, I didn't mind, because I was like, why would I want to be friends with someone who treats people badly, right? And so after that, she knew she couldn't get to me, like just by bullying me. So she decided to go through people I love, which are my friends. Oh my gosh, you guys, that was so hard. Like, sometimes I remember it started like in the dining hall, we're getting food, and she spat in a bowl of cereal for my friend and said, that's because you're Zoe's friend. Another person, she took their clothes, dumped them in the toilet and said, that's because you're Zoe's friend. Another friend, I think on like the day where you just wear like regular clothes, she was calling my friend Tarzan because she was in like animal print stuff. And she was calling, hey, Tarzan, you're so ugly. And the whole school could hear her. And so people were like laughing at my friend. And again, she went and told her, I did that because you're Zoe's friend. So I was like, okay. This is getting out of hand. This is getting ridiculous. And the teachers are not doing anything about it. So I told my dad, like, hey, dad, this is a situation at school. I don't know what to do. So I feel like the best thing I can do right now is to leave the school, because I've tried to report her to the teachers, but the teachers are not doing anything about it. And it really hurts me to see that me not being on this bully side is affecting my friends. And I think the only way to save my friends is for me to leave the school. And at that point, I was still in Botswana at that point. And so I was telling my dad, like, I don't mind coming to Zambia. Like, I just need to get out of this school so that my friends can be safe. Because I was like, how far is she willing to go? Like, this is getting ridiculous, you know? And so my dad called the school and asked for a hearing and said, you know, I'd like my daughter said she did letters and everything. Can you guys have a hearing based on the bullying issue? And can you guys like notify me what has been resolved, basically? And so, yeah, the principal got involved. He brought a team of teachers to come and have a hearing. So me and the bully and a bunch of teachers sat, and I was a prefect, I was a teacher's pet, I was like a star student, so of course they're gonna take my side, you know what I'm saying? And again, the issue is for bullying. Why would you not take my side? And so we get into the room and we're talking, and I'm there busy sharing, like, oh, so this has happened and this has happened and this has happened, and it's getting out of hand and you guys are not doing anything about it. So I just wanted to bring it up because people are getting affected. Their grades are getting affected. Their parents are sending them to boarding school thinking that their child is safe, and their child is not safe. And so, like, can we please do something about it? And here's all the evidence. And then the bully, remember, the bully and I used to be friends and really good friends. So she knows a lot about like secret things I've done that may not be, like, they were not good things, right? Because I mean, we're teenagers, we're in boarding school, we do a lot of stupid stuff, and I would do stupid stuff with her. And so she decides this is the best time to bring up all the stupid stuff. And so she brings out the stupid stuff and she's like, oh, you know, Zoe's busy saying A, B, C, D, F, G. You think she's all high and mighty. Did you know that Zoe does A, B, C, D, E, F, G? And so she puts our business out there. And the teachers are there. They're in shock. They're like, what the heck? Like, what? Is this true? And I'm like, we have come to discuss the issue of bullying, not of A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Can we put bullying on the table and discuss bullying? And then I guess the teachers were so outraged. Also, again, remember, they were also afraid of this bully chick because her dad was a somebody in government, okay? And so, yeah, and so they just threw the bullying thing out the window. Like, the meeting just switched, y'all. Like, I was going in there knowing that, hey, I am winning this case. And then it just switched up on me and the case is totally different. Now it's about me doing nonsense. And by the way, there was no evidence that I was doing nonsense except her word. But I had evidence. I had letters written by victims and they didn't care. Oh my gosh, you guys. Like, I remember they were like, okay, look, based on what she's saying, you could get expelled. So when your dad calls, tell him that everything has been resolved and we'll let this slide. And I'm like, but it hasn't been resolved. And they were like, do you want to get expelled? And I'm like, on what basis? Someone's like, she could be lying. She is lying. There's no evidence, right? Of course she wasn't lying, but they didn't know that. And I'm thinking, like, guys, you guys know me. You guys know I would never do those things. Why would you take her word over mine? But they didn't care. And so that's how the meeting ended. I remember walking to my room and I cried so hard. And I was just like, what the heck is this? Like, I think it was like a glimpse of like reality, I guess. Because it was like, is this how what life is like in the real world? You know, you could be the good guy, but because you're not powerful, quote unquote, the powerful people always win, you know? And it was really sad. And I remember, like, because when I was going there, I was going there on behalf of my friends. I was going there on behalf of the girls in the hostel. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to speak for the voices and this is going to happen. And then nothing happened. It backfired on me. And I just cried so much. And I remember just being so upset, and my dad called and he's like, hey, how did the hearing go? And I was just like, it was horrible. And I just cried and I told him, I was like, everything just switched. The girl started accusing me of things and they just switched, it just stopped. I was like, this is ridiculous. So my dad's like, okay, what do you want us to do? So I was like, I don't know, but I just want to leave this place. I don't think I can be here any longer. And my dad was like, okay, relax, take a deep breath, things will be fine. I'm like, things won't be fine because now, clearly, I've seen that she has them, like, in her pocket, you know? And so now, I can't make a difference anymore because I've tried and I've seen that it's not going to work. So why would I want to be at a place where my presence is a danger to my friends? Like, I just, like, I don't want that. And so, yeah, my dad just told me to, like, because I was, like, crying hysterically. And he just told me to calm down and that, you know, he'll speak to the people. And I'm like, no, don't talk to them because they'll just make things worse. And they're threatening to expel me. And I just don't know what to do. Again, there's no evidence on everything she's saying and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he tells me, calm down, I'll sort it out. I'm like, okay, cool. So a week passes, my friends are still getting bullied, and it's like just getting worse. And one day I decide I'm done with the school. I am going to pack my stuff and leave. So this is now in like beginning of February, right? I'm in grade 11 now, beginning of February. I'm just done. I'm just like, I can't do this anymore. So I told myself, I'm not going to tell anyone I'm leaving. I'm just going to disappear in the morning. So in the evening, I ironed my shirts. I helped everyone with homework like I normally do. And I told people, oh, yeah, see you in the morning. Oh, yeah, okay, I'm showering at this time and ABCD and all that jazz. And at 4 in the morning, I called a cab to come pick me up. It took me to the bus station. I got on a bus and I went home, which was 7 hours away. I call my dad and I'm like, hey, I am at the bus station. Can you come pick me up? And he's like, why are you here? And I told him, I can't be at that school anymore. Like, I'm failing to concentrate now because my friends are failing because they're getting bullied to the extreme. And so, yeah, anyway, I don't want to go into even more detail otherwise because the episode will be super, super long. But I ended up going to a different school, right? And the school I went to was a Christian school. And 4 months after I went to that school, I met Jesus and I got saved. After getting saved, I started working for a church. After high school, I got a Bible school scholarship. It was at that Bible school scholarship where God told me about what he wanted me to do with my life. It was at that Bible school where he told me the kind of man I was going to marry. It was at that Bible school where I met a lot of different people. And I recently came back from a trip to Brazil. And in Brazil, I was staying with a friend I met at Bible school. And, you know, like going back to the scripture, and we know that God works all things for good, right? I was thinking about how, like, there is no way anyone could have predicted that bullying would have led me to have the experience of a lifetime in Brazil. There is no way someone would tell me that bullying would be what takes me abroad to the US. There is no way someone would tell me that bullying is what got me to meet Jesus. Bullying is what got me to meet my husband. Like, it's so crazy. Like, it's really, really crazy. And it was like, when I was thinking about that story in my life, I was like, you know what? I think I need to be remembering this story more when people give me that scripture whenever I'm going through something bad, you know? Like, no one could have predicted that being sold by your brothers would lead you to being second in command as a foreigner in a powerful nation. You know what I mean? Like, no one could have predicted that, but God could. God really sees what we don't see. When we're going through things, he's like, y'all need to, you know, see the bigger picture. There's a scripture in Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, and the NIV reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so, yeah, I hope you feel encouraged. Like, whatever you're going through, and trust me, I am going through something right now where that verse was used on me and I was like, yeah, no, pick another verse. I don't want to listen to that. But even just recording this episode, it's like a reminder Like, it's the episode is for me as well. As I'm speaking to myself as well. That I need to remember that this situation, it may feel like how I felt when I was being bullied, but I need to remember that something great is gonna come out of it, right? Because it says, again, God works things out for good, right? For those who love him. And I know that I love God, and I'm hoping that you love God. And the thing about God's word is that it's true, it can be trusted, it has power. What it says, it does, you know. And so if it says that for those who love God, things work out for their good, and then you love God, then just be confident that things are gonna work for your good, right? Joseph loved God and things worked out for his good. I love God and things worked out for my good then, and I believe they're gonna work out for my good now. Again, the situation I'm going through right now, I'm trying to see, like, when will it work out for good? How will it work out for good? But the when and the how, I guess, is not my business. My business is just to love on God and he will do the rest. And I just wanted to encourage you to love on God, and let him do the rest as well, right? It reminds me of the story of Moses in the DreamWorks animation Prince of Egypt. It is like my favorite movie ever. And there's a song by Jethro, which is his father-in-law before he was his father-in-law. And it's called Look at Your Life Through Heaven's Eyes. And when Jethro was singing, he was like, you know, a single thread in a tapestry can feel like it's insignificant, but it's actually part of a grand design. And I kid you not, you guys, every time that scripture comes to my mind, like Romans 8:28, all things will work together for good, and I feel discouraged, I think about that scene in Prince of Egypt and that song, and it takes us back to God saying that his ways are higher than our ways, right? And it just goes back to that song that says, you know, look at your life through heaven's eyes. Like, heaven's eyes has an aerial view where it sees the whole picture, and we can't see anything. We're just a single thread in the tapestry, and the thread itself cannot see what it's a part of. It can't see the bigger picture, right? Our brain, our mind, our thoughts as human beings, as mere mortals, like, it's so limited, right? And that's what separates us from God, because God is limitless. Like, really, we cannot comprehend, even if we tried, you know, what God knows. It not even just a fraction of who God is or what God knows or what he has. It can't fit into our brains, you know, that are supposed to be these super engines. But anyway, I think I'm straying away a bit. But anyway, the main point is that whatever you're going through, look at your life through heaven's eyes. Remember that our ways are not his ways. Remember that we are limited in our understanding. Remember that we are limited in our in what we can comprehend, right? But the fact that we love God and the fact that scripture says so, then all things will work out. Then God will hold it all together. You know, so I just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to be hopeful. I want to challenge you to think about a time when you went through something and God worked it all together. Because I feel like that memory is gonna, it's gonna like, it's gonna keep you going. Yeah, it's gonna keep you going. So keep the faith, be encouraged, reflect, and love on God.
And That's a wrap on this episode of Zoe's Corner. I hope you got a little dose of inspiration, a fresh perspective, or maybe even a good laugh along the way. If you loved this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave a review. It means the world to me. And hey, let's keep this conversation going. Connect with me on Instagram at zoes.corner or at missconnie25 and let me know your thoughts. Until next time, step out of your corner and into the world. Go out, shine bright, and let Jesus be seen in all that you do. Catch you on the next one. Bye.